Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Bhakti Vedanta Ki Jai, Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Jula Nyatra Ki
Jai,
Sri Raj Maharaj Ki
Jai,
O Premanandu. So tonight we'll continue chapter 66. What is chapter 66 called? Andraka, the false Vasudeva. So we'll read from verses 15 to 28. We can continue the pastime of hearing about Pondraka. Text number 15. Lord Hari laughed heartily when he saw how the king had dressed up in exact imitation of his own appearance, just like an actor on a stage. What have a bundle for
you? Srila Prabhupada described this scene as follows. On the whole, Prabhupada's dress and the makeup were merely imitation. Anyone could understand that he was just like someone on a stage playing the part of a Vasudeva in poses. When Lord Krishna saw Prabhupada imitating his posture and dress, he could not check his laughter, and thus he laughed with great satisfaction. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that it was a benediction from Lord Shiva that enabled Pondraka to imitate the Lord's dress and appearance exactly, in fact, gleaned from the Uttarakanda of Sri Bhagavatam.
So, any points there? So continuing with last night's theme, what was one of the main themes from last night that we've discussed from this chapter so far? One can follow, but one cannot imitate. Don't imitate a great devotee. Don't act as if you are more qualified than what you are. In Sanskrit, this is called Atika. So we have three types of devotees: Kanishta, Adhikari, Majjhamadhikari, and Uttamadhikari. What does that mean? Kanishta means neophyte. Right? So it means, what are the symptoms of the Kanishta Adhikari?
Faith and they are distinguished on faith and knowledge.
And one more category. What is the other category? Faith, knowledge, and? No, that knowledge and discrimination are the same. Faith, knowledge, and? Chanting. These are the three ways that we can understand. Someone who's Kanishta Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari means materialistic devotee. Devotee, but materialistic in consciousness. They chant with offences. So in terms of their chanting, they're committing offences. The Majjhima Adhikari, which means a middle class devotee, that's what we're meant to be. That's what the devotees in ISKCON primarily are. Majjhima Adhikari. Majjhima Adhikari means medium devotees. It means when it comes to their chanting, they are clearing the offences. Now, we might commit offences, but we know what the offences are, and we try not to commit the offences. Right? There's a difference between committing them regularly or knowingly or even unknowingly, and knowing what they are, and sometimes we commit them. You know, there's a difference in the consciousness. So Majjhamadhikari means that we are trying not to commit the offences while chanting. And then there is Uttamadhikari. Uttama means very advanced devotee, someone who's advanced in Adhika. Adhika means qualification. Means he's very qualified. When the Uttama Adhikari chants, others begin to chant just by his presence. And you'll have this experience when you come in contact with very advanced devotees, you begin to chant spontaneously or automatically. You become serious about your chanting just in the association of someone who's very advanced. So that's how we can understand someone's Uttama Adhikari. He makes others chant just by their association. Majjhima Adhikari is clearing the offences and the Kanishtha Adhikari is committing the offences. Then there is faith. Now, faith means how much faith does the devotee have? The Kanishtha Adhikari's faith is weak. No? It means easily their faith is swayed. You know, just some small thing happens and they lose faith. That's Kanishtha Adhikari. And our faith will always be tested. In ISKCON, our faith is tested all the time because sometimes we get disappointed in our interaction with other devotees. Right? And then some people lose faith and they go away. Now, I've seen many times people, they go away, they lose faith easily. So that is Kanishtha Adhikari. It means the faith is not strong. Majjhima Adhikari, the faith is strong. Right? Doesn't go away easily. You know, something happens, but no, they stay. They stay fixed in devotional service. But they cannot, it means their faith is not always substantiated by Shastra. In other words, they don't always know all the details of what they're doing, but they do it. No? The faith of the Uttama Adhikari, the very advanced devotee, is that his faith is completely fixed in Krishna. And he can also understand why, and he is doing everything according to the scriptural injunctions. So there is one's chanting, one's faith, and the third category is knowledge or realization. It means what is the realization of? The Kanishtha Adhikari, his realization is not so strong. In other words, the Kanishtha Adhikari has like faith in Guru. Faith in
the deities,
but not so much faith in the other devotees. Doesn't always treat the other devotees properly. No. The Majjhima Adhikari, his faith is correct. His realization is correct. The way he treats the other devotees, he understands devotees are different. Not every devotee is on the same level. Some devotees are more advanced. Some devotees are same and some devotees are lesser. He knows how to deal with everyone properly. That's his realization. Kanishtha Adhikari can't understand properly who is more advanced, who is less advanced. When you're Majjhima Adhikari, you can understand these things much more easily. Uttama Adhikari, his realization is very advanced. And it may be so advanced if he's a very advanced devotee. He doesn't even differentiate between individuals. You know, if someone's advanced on the band, it doesn't mean anything to him. He just sees everyone is serving Krishna and he just gives respect to everyone. So this means adhika. So we should not try to act or imitate someone who's on a higher level. No, we should not think that, I can act like this or I can act like that. You have to have the adhika. In other words, you can't take respect, you can't take profit. Dakshina, people give you gifts. You can't take profit, you can't take distinction or adoration unless you are qualified. If you're qualified, then you receive those things, but you don't accept them for yourself. Your mentality is, I'm just Krishna's servant, I'm just passing it on to Guru, to Krishna, like that. Now, you don't think it's because of your qualification. So we have to be careful about this mentality. So this is one of the main themes in this chapter. You see Pondraka? No? He's imitating Krishna, not following Krishna. I think I am Krishna. Now how did he get the position? I mean, how could he fool people that he was Krishna? It means he must have been quite qualified, quite powerful. So how did he get that benediction? By the mercy of Shiva. Because Shiva is extremely powerful. So The Lord Shiva has blessed him. Right? He's become powerful. Right? But then he is thinking that those blessings are now mine. The mentality of the devotee is that we always remember the blessings are like a gift, or the blessings are something which are given. Actually, devotional life is sustained by blessings. I was reading this today. We only sustain our devotional service by blessings. When devotees are happy with us, you have to make the devotees happy with you. If the devotees are not happy with you, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. It becomes very difficult. You have to make the devotees happy. Now, you can't make all of the devotees happy. That's impossible. There will always be someone who is maybe not favorable towards you. That's the material world. But generally, you have to say most of the devotees should be favorably disposed. If most of the devotees are not favorably disposed, then you have a problem. And particularly, if you upset or offend especially, or create ill feelings in the heart of a very advanced devotee, then your spiritual life will be extremely hindered. It'll be very difficult to advance. You'll have a lot of problems. Offenses are actually the cause of most of our problems. When you offend, if you offend devotees, or if you offend the holy Dham, or if you offend the holy name, or you offend the deities, or you offend Tulsi Devi, or you offend the Vaishnavas, or even if you offend just an ordinary person, or even if you offend an insect unnecessarily, then you will get reactions. And then it will become difficult for you to advance in spiritual life. So you have to be very careful of these things. So the problem here is that he attained blessings, but then he became proud of his blessing. When we attain blessing, we should just feel very humble and fortunate. A devotee is humble under all circumstances. It is one of the main qualities of a devotee. You have to be humble. What is the Sanskrit for humility which is given?
Karpanya.
Yeah, different words given. Danya is often given. Lord Chaitanya, when he lists the 26 qualities of a devotee, he says akrita droha. Akrita droha means not defiant. That's the definition of humility. You are not defiant. So it's one of the main qualities of a devotee. When a devotee is humble, you advance. When you're not humble, you will have difficulties in spiritual life. So when you receive blessings, we always have to receive them humbly. Yes, I was blessed by this advanced devotee, and because of the blessings of that devotee, now I'm able to make progress. But I'm very humble about it, and then I don't become proud of my blessings and like that. Oh, you got so much association with some advanced devotee, and then you become very proud of that, and you put it on Facebook and show everyone, whenever your guru is there and there's a photograph, you're leaning right in like. All these things we do, the mentality is there. We always do these things. So when we have this mentality, then it's very difficult to advance in spiritual life. So we have to remain humble. So that's Pondraka's defect. He was blessed by Lord Shiva. You become very powerful, and then he thought, okay, now I'm Vasudeva, I'm God himself. Right? And now he writes a letter to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and says, why don't you come down here and we'll have a talk about this. And Krishna goes down to get him. Okay. Any points?
Prabhupada, you said that Mahima Adhikari tries not to commit offense in chanting. And then you said that he is free of anatta.
Free of anatta?
Is there something
else? No. The Uttamadhikari is He's like free.
Madhyamika is free of what?
Offense.
Offense.
Well, he not necessarily free, but he he's very careful and conscientious not to commit offense.
Right, but he's not free, is he?
Well, free means you're trying not to do it. You might sometimes do it, but you're trying not to do it. That's the point.
Yes. And the other thing, what benediction did you say?
It says Srila Jiva Goswami points out that it was a benediction, but doesn't specify what, from Lord Shiva that enabled Pondraka to imitate the Lord's dress and appearance exactly. He gave the blessings, you will look like Vasudev, you will look like Krishna. Any other point?
Lord gives liberation to the Jivatma, then Krishna gives similar body like him, 400 form and same consciousness. He probably can he not do this one. If he becomes a body, then he can attain the same form of the Lord.
Yeah.
Which eventually attains the body.
Yeah.
The other point I wanted to add is in ISKCON we are very fortunate. Prabhupada's teachings are so deep for us that in one sense it's easier to see gross limitation, but the subtler limitation is more difficult it is to discern that. And in this movement, Prabhupada has made it actually easy for us also not to fall back to subtle limitations. Many people fall prior to such subtle limitations. So we have modernized.
But in ISKCON we don't?
In ISKCON we have enough knowledge to be able to.
You mean not to think we're God?
Not only not to think we are God, but even for example, many people outside, if people don't have enough knowledge, then they'll accept these people as gurus. But in ISKCON we know that those people are not on the right track.
Yeah.
Subtle deviations.
Yeah.
So far has given us that blessing that we are able to see them.
Mm.
Because the standards in ISKCON are very high to become a spiritual master.
Mm. Any other point?
Lord Shiva seems to be enabling these pastimes for Lord Krishna's pleasure. In this section we see he has been giving blessings to the wrong people who are then going and fighting with Krishna.
Yeah, whether he knows or not, but he's doing it. Yeah. Yeah, he's serving. Whether or not he realizes that's what he's doing, but he's serving. Any other point? Neophyte means always fight.
Neophyte always fight.
Prabhupada says it? Prabhupada says it.
Yeah,
is it? Yeah, I've never heard that, but.
Because they were talking about realization, so they realize Guru and Krishna, but they don't realize the level of devotees, and that's why they have fights with other devotees. So Prabhupada speaks neophyte mentality, neophytes and always
fights. Better not to fight. The enemies of Lord Hari attacked him with tridents, clubs, bludgeons, pikes, rishtis, barbed darts, lances, swords, axes, and arrows. But Lord Krishna fiercely struck back at the army of Pondraka and Kashiraj, which consisted of elephants, chariots, cavalry, and infantry. The Lord tormented his enemies with his club, sword, Sudarshana disc, and arrows, just as the fire of annihilation torments the various kinds of creatures at the end of a cosmic age. Jamuna Jiva, you like to read one?
Shri
Srila Prabhupada comments as follows in Krishna. The soldiers on the side of King Honraka began to shower their weapons upon Krishna. The weapons, including various kinds of tridents, clubs, poles, lances, swords, daggers and arrows, came flying in waves, and Krishna contracted them. He smashed not only the weapons but also the soldiers and assistants of Honraka. Just as during the dissolution of the universe, the fire of devastation burns everything to ashes. The elephants, chariots, horses and infantry belonging to the opposite party was scattered by the weapons of Krishna.
Hmm. Any points?
Prithak Praja. Prithak Praja is the word that is used here. It is it's intriguing because Krishna is not only killing these human beings, but also the animals are getting killed here. So it seems like these animals, because of their past sins, are assisting Pandraka on his side. Otherwise, why would the Lord kill them? Because animals don't have the discrimination to know which side is right and which side is wrong. There must be some karma.
Yeah, it could be like that. That's just what they do in the battles. You read all the description of all the battles, they kill the animals as well. They kill the horses, they kill the elephants, like, take it all out. Any points? So for Krishna, this is just Leela. This is one of the main differences between the material world and the spiritual world. In some ways it says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment that in some ways the pastimes in the material world are even more amazing than the pastimes in the spiritual world in some ways. He says because when you put diamonds like on a white cloth, they don't look so attractive. But when you put them on the black cloth, the diamonds look very attractive. So in the backdrop of the material world, Krishna's pastimes look very attractive. So in some ways, they're considered more attractive in the material world. Yeah. So then, one of the main features which is different is these kind of leelas, the fighting leelas. You won't find that in the spiritual world. Now, Krishna doesn't have
enemies.
Yeah, serious fights in the spiritual world. The demons do appear in the spiritual world, but they only appear temporarily. They're not like there all the time. They just manifest, Krishna kills them, they disappear. But it's not like you don't have the huge battles and all these things, like it's described here. So for Krishna, this is very enjoyable. This is one reason why he comes to the material world. Because in the material world, he has pastimes he doesn't have in the spiritual world. So it's very enjoyable, right? And George Washington, you know George Washington? Well, who is he?
President of America.
President of America. Was he the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, the very first one, George Washington. He actually wrote, he said, there is something thrilling about hearing the whistling of bullets go past your ears. Because back in his time there was civil war. So, you know, everyone was shooting at each other. So he was a soldier. No? So he said, there's something thrilling. You know, when the bullet goes straight past your ear. So there's something you get in a fight, in a battle, that you can't get anywhere else. There's a taste there, a rasa, virya rasa. It means it's chivalry. So Krishna enjoys it. So when he comes to the material world, he very much enjoys these pastimes. So you hear here, it's very elaborate. After the battle, it's very elaborate, the whole scene. The rivers of blood and all of these things. So, when you really get into a battle, you enjoy all of these elements of the battle. So for Krishna, it's just Leela. One point about Krishna is that he is inexhaustible. We get exhausted. Hands up if you're exhausted right now. Okay, there's four or five, everyone. Jai Krishna's not because you're still young. I remember when I was your age. You don't get exhausted much, right? I mean, I don't think after you train, you train for, what's it?
Got too much energy at the moment, got an injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after you train for 2 or 3 hours, you start feeling a bit exhausted. Then you have a rest and then you're back, you're fresh again. But when you get to our age, mate, you know, you get exhausted. You know, all you have to do is get up in the morning and just, you know, get to 8 o'clock at night and you're exhausted. You know, even if you don't do that much, you get exhausted. That's the nature of the material world. Krishna never feels exhaustion, right? There's unlimited energy which never gets overcome by anything. In the material world, we become overcome by the material energy. It's very powerful. So for Krishna, he just enjoys this. And, you know, you see in the previous verse what was thrown at him, right? So many weapons were being thrown at him. He just dispelled all of them with his arrows, with his club, with his sword, with his Sudarshana. So he was fighting. And for him, there's no end to his energy, his power. Now, you see here that Krishna chastises everyone appropriately. And this is very important because when you become senior as a devotee, you have to correct the junior devotees. It's a service, you have to do it. You know, if someone's not behaving properly, you have to correct that. That's your service as a senior devotee. And we're all senior to someone, right? So, you know, you can't let it go to your head. Oh, you know, I've been around, you know, 4 years now, and you've been around 3 years, so. You know, when I joined, and then in 1 month, 4 devotees joined in the Brahmachari Ashram. So I was first, and then I think Palahari came a week later, and then Paul, and then another one came a week later. So there's 4 of us, right? So because I was the first one, I thought I could tell everyone. Right? So we had a lot of fights. Because I'd always be telling them, and they'd say, you know, who are you? And I'd say, well, I've been here a week longer than you. And so this is how many come with it. So you have to be careful. Don't let it go to your head. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll commit offenses to the other devotees. Mm-hmm. But when you do become a senior devotee, you have to correct the other devotees. As part of your service, you have to say, don't fall asleep in the class. Right? And you have to say, you know, don't chew your fingernails in the class. Don't put your pen in your mouth in the class. I see devotees do this all the time, even though I've mentioned it so many times, but they still do it. Don't talk in the class. Don't get distracted in the class. So we have to tell like that. Right? Don't come late to the class. You know, we have to say all these things. So it means you have to point out, if there's something defective, you have to point that out. That's your service. But we have to make sure, the same as when you're a parent, most of us are parents, or have been parents, the punishment has to equal the crime or the indiscretion. If you act improperly, it has to be the same level of punishment. And Krishna is like that. Right? Whenever Krishna deals with anyone, it is appropriate. Sometimes, I know myself, you know, sometimes I chastise too heavily. Someone does something like that, but then I go to that level. So you have to be careful. Otherwise, then you will commit offenses. So here, Krishna is dealing with them appropriately. So they needed to be dealt with very strongly. So he was not scared or not afraid to deal with them very strongly. They attacked him. Pondraka was committing an offense. They all sided with him, so Krishna dealt with everyone accordingly. Any points?
I'm just wondering if it is the yoga maya which made Lord Shiva leave his benediction to
him. I don't know. Not sure. I don't know. Any other point?
We talked about appropriateness in chastisement when
someone does something wrong. Yeah, it means it always has to be to the right level. Yeah.
He overdid it, and that was his big
fault. Indra overdid it.
Was it remember
when we... Yeah, Indra overreacted. Yeah.
So that was his one of his big faults.
Yeah. Okay.
When you said that it was a leela for Krishna.
Hmm.
So somebody must have arranged the leela.
Yes, Krishna did.
He
organizes everything.
Okay.
The battlefield strewn with the dismembered chariots, horses, elephants, humans, mules, and camels that had been cut to pieces by the Lord's disc weapon shone like the gruesome playground of Lord Bhutapati, giving pleasure to the wise. Jai Kishan, would you like to read the purport? Prabhuji.
Srila Prabhupada describes this scene as follows. Although the devastated battlefield appeared like the dancing place of Lord Shiva at the time of the dissolution of the world, the warriors who were on the side of Krishna were very much encouraged by seeing this. As they fought with great strength.
Very good. So, any points?
Seems whoever's on Krishna's side seems to be more enthusiastic and more encouraged by what he does.
Yeah. Very good. Any other points?
Why were they encouraged?
Because they were fighting with Krishna. Just like when your Guru Maharaj comes, you feel encouraged. So when you're with someone great, you feel encouraged. That's why we associate with great persons, Mahatmas, and we become encouraged.
There are many people when we do programs, outreach programs. There are many people, recently also we did the program for doctors, and one lady at the end of the class asked me a question that not encouraged to read the Bhagavad Gita because it's all about war and killing. So actually the question is, so the Dhrupa writes, devotees are encouraged because they know it's a dharma yuddha, that is it's a holy battle. It's a real holy war.
Yeah.
Not the jihad of the jihadists. It's a real dharma yuddha. So that's why devotees are encouraged to see that adharma.
People who are on the other side of Adam, like, Srila Prabhupada also said that Mr. Nair left his body. So that's why he's very happy. After they should have been angry on the
Pundarika
as well as King Kashyap.
They were angry.
They were very angry.
They're encouraged because they're with Krishna, that's all. When you're in a battle, you have to be angry. You can't be not angry in a battle. Battles are only about anger. Because they're with Krishna. You feel encouraged by your leader. If you're on the battlefield and your leader is there, you feel encouraged.
Okay. So. But anger is there.
Yeah, of course. Very angry. So, this pastime is also teaching us about perfect leadership. Yad yada charati shrestas, Krishna says. Whatever the great man does, the common men will follow. Everyone will follow. So Krishna is showing perfect leadership. Now, what are the qualities of a leader? A leader must be inspiring. If he's not inspiring, then he is not a leader. You cannot demand respect. You have to command respect. You can't demand. You can't say, you have to follow me. Because that's ineffective. No one wants to do that. You can't force someone to follow you. You have to command. You're so inspiring as a leader, everyone wants to follow you. You want to follow your father's example because he's inspirational. You see these children. The father comes and then they come to be with the father in the class. That's inspirational. That is good leadership. Good leadership means you must inspire. Now, a leader must have two qualities also. To be a leader, you must have people following you. If no one's following you, you're not a leader. So please realize this. Because sometimes we're off doing something and then we look around and there's no one there. We're like, oh. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm the leader. Like that, so. If no one's following you, you're not the leader. Good point. A leader has to inspire. People will follow. If you're inspirational, people will follow. You can't demand, oh, everyone follow me. I'll treat you any way I like, but follow me. No, it doesn't work. No, you have to be inspirational. Then everyone will follow you. Right? Second point, right? You have to know where you're going. If you're the leader, you have to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you're not the leader. Yeah, have you ever been somewhere and you're following someone? You say, where are we going? And they go, actually, I don't know. Right? And then you lose all your inspiration, all your enthusiasm to follow them. Yeah. A very good book came out a number of years ago, maybe 20 years ago or so, about leadership. A very famous book. And the name of the book was Lead, Follow, or Get Out of the Way. There's only three options. Right? You're either leading, you're following, right? Or just move out of the side and just don't just get in the way. Right? So make up your mind. Are you the leader or the follower? Now the point is, the best leaders, they know when to change gears. Right? Right? You may be the leader, but within your group, there's always going to be someone more qualified than you in certain areas. So when that person is, when their abilities are being called upon, then you may be the leader, but then you step back and you let them. Just like, you know, in marriage, it's like that. Like sometimes, you know, I'm the leader in our relationship between me and Atulia. I am the leader, right? But many times, she knows something much better than me. So then I step back. I say, okay, you do it. Like that. I follow. Like that. But then, switches back. Sometimes switches all the time. I'm the leader, but sometimes I'm following. I'm behind. I'm still the leader, but I'm behind. Right? And then other times.
Is that called...
What's that?
Is that called leading from behind?
It can be, because leading from behind can also have a negative connotation as well. You know, there's people who just sit in the back seat and say, you know, you do this, you do that, you drive like this, you know, back seat drivers, like that. So that's not real leadership. That's just, it can become very painful if you don't actually, because the leader, at many points, the leader has to step out and go forward like that. Anyway, it's easy for me to say all this stuff because Atulia's not here, so I can say if she was here, it'd be interesting to see how she would react. I probably wouldn't speak this confidently or boldly. But it's the fact. The fact is, when you're the leader, you have to know when to go forward, when to go back. That's the point. Yeah? So Krishna here, because he is a perfect leader. Yeah? So now he is dealing with the soldiers on the opposing army appropriately. In other words, the leader's at the front. Right? You read Mahabharata, right? Arjuna was at the front. Drona was at the front. Bhishma was at the front. Karna was at the front. They all at the front. They weren't hiding down the back. That's the leader. He has to be like that. Any points?
The leader has to practice what he preaches.
Yeah.
He has to live it, not just tell other people.
Also, yeah. Good. Any other point?
What about leading by example?
Leading by example? Yeah. Same thing. Good leader, yeah, same thing. Good leader sets the example. Yeah, you can't just tell everyone what to do and then you don't do it. Do this, do this, do this. No, you have to be doing it. Yeah, Prabhupada was the perfect leader. Like, you know, Prabhupada, you know, when the movement started, he cooked the Sunday feast. And so he cooked the feast, gave the class, led the kirtan, served the feast, and cleaned up afterwards. That's the leader. everything by example, right? But then later on, 5 years later, 10 years later, Prabhupada, you know, he'd give the lecture and maybe lead the kirtan. He didn't do all the other things. But in the beginning, yeah, it just shows how to change gears, right? In the beginning, there was no one else, so Prabhupada jumped in, he did the whole thing, right? Later on, when he had more to do, then he delegated, right? The best leaders are delegated. That's why Prabhupada said the best leadership is lazy intelligent, right? You just sit in one place and you just direct everyone what to do. And that's what Prabhupada did, right? Everyone was organized, right? And he would sit there and he would say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then everyone would work. Any points? Don't get too attached to the lazy, intelligent model.
Yeah, exactly. Brenda pointed out that it's my dad instead of me. Just going to leave it at that.
Any other point?
So there are 3 points. There are 3 points, not 3 points.
3 points?
Yeah, you said in the beginning there are 2 points.
2 points. Yeah, a leader has to know where they're going and they have to have people following them.
Yeah, but then the third is that they have to do what they're doing.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, there's so many points you can put in to a little bit. Okay. Lord Krishna then addressed Pondraka. My dear Pondraka, the very weapons you spoke of through your messenger I shall now release unto you. So, Mahaprabhu.
Srila Prabhupada arrives as following Krishna. At this time, Lord Krishna told Pondraka, Pondraka, you requested me to give up the symbols of Lord Vishnu, specifically my disc. Now I'll give it up to you. Be careful. You falsely declare yourself to be Vasudeva, imitating myself. Therefore, no one is a greater fool than you. From this statement of Krishna, it is clear that any rascal who advertises himself as God is the greatest fool in human society.
Any points?
The Lord is only one, it is Krishna.
Yep. Anything else?
The greatest fool is the person that thinks they can be faithful.
Yeah. So, it is called Pashandi. I'd be reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Lord Chaitanya. It speaks about Pashandi. What does this mean?
Pashandi.
Huh?
Pakandi. Like he imitates.
Yeah, it means an offender. Yeah, someone who commits offenses. It's called Pashandi. Someone who is offensive. So Lord Chaitanya says you be very careful of offensive people, even amongst devotees. Some devotees, they're neophyte devotees, not advanced devotees, it means neophyte. They may have been around a long time, they may have positions of leadership, but there is some neophyte quality there, some kanishta quality there. And they're always critical, but not a critical in the positive way, in a beneficial way, but in a negative way. That is called Pashandi. You have to be very careful about associating. Lord Chaitanya says, avoid those people. If someone's always offending the devotees, just say, Hare Krishna. It's like sometimes, I'm somewhere and one devotee always blaspheming. So then I just say, Hare Krishna. And they say, what do you think? I say, Hare Krishna. Why don't you give me your opinion? I say, Hare Krishna. Because they're not going to get involved in it. Right? So you have to avoid those people, actually. Go like that. Distance yourself. So, the offenders, they receive the greatest punishment. If you're an offender to Krishna, you will be punished heavily. Just like part of the Vedas, one part of the Vedas is called Jyotish. What is the Jyotish?
Astrology.
Yeah, the astrological portion. Jyotish. Jyotish means the light. Means you cast a light and then you can understand someone's chart. Some Jyotish, you look at the chart and you can, the astrologer can tell you about the future or the past or your personality. Now it says that if you are an astrologer, but if you mislead the people, in other words, you don't have proper knowledge and you're speaking, or you see something but then you misguide the people or you manipulate them or something, it says in your next life you will be born blind. Because Jyotish means light, but the light will be taken away and then you'll be in darkness all the time. So you get reactions. These are offenses. So if you commit offenses, like Pondraka is, to Krishna, to the devotees, to other people, you will get reactions. These are serious things. You have to be careful. Offenses are a great stumbling block in our spiritual advancement. So you have to be very careful.
Well, according to curse by the followers of Rosh Shiva, all the astrologers, they don't know.
They what?
The astrologers don't know anything. Their knowledge is all destroyed.
The Brahmin.
Yes, at that time.
Daksha Jagya.
Yeah. So they were cursed.
No, not if they're a bona fide astrologer. It means the smarter brahmanas, that's what it means. Yeah.
Not all the astrologers.
No, not the devotee astrologers. Like Banu Swami or Prahlad Nanda Maharaj or what that. They have proper. O fool, now I shall make you renounce my name, which you have falsely assumed. And I will certainly take shelter of you if I do not wish to fight you. So, Lila Mai, I'd like to read.
Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. Now, Pondraka, I shall force you to give up your public false representation. You wanted me to surrender unto you. Now, this is the opportunity. We shall now fight. If I am defeated and you become victorious, I shall certainly surrender unto you.
Any points?
Krishna actually likes to surrender himself and get defeated by his devotees.
He wants to what?
Krishna actually likes to surrender himself and get defeated by his devotees.
Any other point? So we have to surrender voluntarily, because if you don't surrender voluntarily to Krishna, you'll be forced to surrender. Right? At the time of death, the second canto of the Bhagavatam says, if you don't bow your head before Krishna, at the time of death you'll be forced to offer dandavats. So up to you. When class finishes, you go to Radha Vallabha, you offer dandavats voluntarily. By the time of death, you'll have to do it anyway. So it's up to us. So Krishna is an honorable person. He can't be defeated, but he says, if you do defeat me, I will surrender to you. That's an honorable person. We have to keep our honor under all circumstances. Sometimes we make promises, then we don't keep the promises. Right? That's not honorable. Krishna doesn't like that. If you make a promise, you must keep the promise. Just like in Mahabharata, right? There was Drona and Drupada. You know the pastime? So Drupada said, you can have half the kingdom. When Drona came back later, right? And he said, please give me half the kingdom. Drupada said, I never said that. Right? And Drona said, no, you did say that. Right? And he went, trained the Pandavas, and then he went and conquered Drupada. Like that. So if you don't live up to your word, then Krishna will give you the reaction. Having thus derided Pondraka, Lord Krishna destroyed his chariot with his sharp arrows. The Lord then cut off his head with his Sudarshana disc. Just as Lord Indra lops off a mountain peak with his thunderbolt weapon. So even Krishna is feared by?
Fear personified.
Fear personified. Fear, Baya, personified, the personification of fear. Imagine the scariest living entity who could put complete fear into your consciousness. Just like if a lion walked in right now, right? We'd be terrified, right? In fear. Right? So imagine some creature which gives you so much fear. Even fear personified is fearful of Krishna. That's how powerful Krishna is. So Pondraka, he said so many things, but then Krishna said, okay, meet me on the battlefield and then we'll work it out. And now he is full of fear. Krishna said, is it in the Krishna book? I thought it was in this pastime. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but in the Krishna book. He writes a letter, maybe it's a pastime that's coming up. And he said, there's a black snake called Krishna who's going to come down there and go into the hole and eat you. So, I don't know, maybe it was in this past time, I have to look at the Krishna book. But when Krishna is chasing you, that is the most fearful situation. Make sure you stay friendly with Krishna and don't upset him. Better to kill them. It's more fun to kill them. Just kill them. With his arrows, Lord Krishna similarly severed Kashi Raja's head from his body, sending it flying into Kashi city like a lotus flower thrown by the wind. So what did Kashi say? Kashi said to all the citizens as he went out of the city, he said, I will go out there, I'll kill Vasudev, I'll take his head and I'll bring his head back to all of you. And he said that to his wives. And then as he left, all his wives were saying, he's going to bring the head of Krishna back to us. Krishna shoots an arrow, takes off his head, and then Krishna shot it in such a way it took off his head, and then his head went over the wall of the city and landed at the front gate of his palace. Different pastimes are there. You know, in the Mahabharata, there's also that pastime, Jayadrat. You know that pastime?
Yeah.
So Jayadrat was involved in the killing of Abhimanyu. Yeah. So Arjuna took a vow. Arjuna came back at the end of the day, and when he got back to the campsite at the end of the day, he looked around and Abhimanyu wasn't there. He knew what had happened. He said, where is he? And they said, no one could even look at Arjuna in the eye. Only Yudhishthira could. Yudhishthira said he's been slain. Arjuna said, who did it? And he said, Jayadrath. And he said, I take a vow tomorrow. If Jayadrath is not dead by the time the sun goes down, I will enter into fire. So then they heard the vow. They went to the other camp, the Kauravas camp. So Drona said, okay, then we'll make sure that Arjuna cannot kill him. So they made a formation with the army. Each day there was a different vyuha. Vyuha means like a formation of the army. So that day they made the stork formation. It was like a long, thin formation. And it was 12 kilometers from the front of the army to the back of the army. Right? And they put Jayadrath at the back. So Arjuna had to go through 12 kilometers of soldiers all day to get to Jayadrath. Right? And then Drona stood in the way, and Arjuna had to go around Drona to get to Jayadrath. So he went around him, and then he got there at the end of the day. And then we know the story. The sun went down. Everyone put down their weapons. The sun came back up. And Krishna said, now Arjuna shot the arrow, and he shot Jayadrath's head, took off his head. And then his head went into the forest and landed on his father's lap. Because his father was meditating in the forest to give his son power. And his father opened his eyes and saw his son. He went, ooh, pushed on the ground. And then said, whoever made Jayadrath's head hit the ground, his head would crack, split. So then when his father threw the head on the ground, then his head would split. So there's many different pastimes which are described. So that's how expert they were at archery. They could take off someone's head, but then they could send the head somewhere as well. So powerful, these warriors. So they sent Kashi's head back over the...
They used to do it with the mantra.
What's that?
With the mantra.
With mantra, yeah. Having thus killed envious Pondraka and his ally, Lord Krishna returned to Dwarka. As he entered the city, the sitters of heaven chanted his immortal nectarian glories. Huh? Now it's interesting, if you look at the context of this chapter, what was the previous chapter? Yeah, Balaram goes to Vrindavan. So Balaram, the whole time that Krishna's out there fighting, Balaram's doing... Rasalila. Balaram's enjoying and Krishna is working. So this shows that we are bound to do our duty above and beyond all else. As devotees, we always have to do our duty. You can't neglect your duty. Whatever service you're given by the devotees, you have to do it. Each one of us has certain duties, right? And we'll see coming up in the Bhagavad Gita in the next canto, Uddhava is given a very difficult service by Krishna. Krishna is going back to the spiritual world, he's leaving this world. Uddhava says, I want to go with you. And Krishna says, no, you have to stay. So he stays as a duty to Krishna. So this is the principle. The principle is our service is more important than our personal desires. Sometimes we want to do something, but if we're given a service, that is what is important. Right? If Guru, Krishna, the devotees give you a service, you have to do the service. Right? So, you know, Krishna could have just gone off to Vrindavan. And he could have been enjoying with Balaram and all the gopis, which he would have preferred to have done. But his service was to go down and fight with Pondraka. So this is the example. By constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Pondraka shattered all his material bonds. Indeed, by imitating Lord Krishna's appearance, O King, he ultimately became Krishna conscious. Right, same as Kamsa. Kamsa, always thinking of Krishna, became Krishna conscious. Pondraka, always thinking of Krishna, became Krishna conscious. The difference is, this type of meditation is not the meditation we should do. This meditation is called pratikul. Rupa Goswami says we have to do?
Anukul.
Favorable. This is not favorable. So why did he go back to Godhead? Because at the time of death, he saw Krishna, but Prabhupada says in Kurukshetra, when those who saw Krishna were envious, they merged to the Brahma Jyoti. Those who saw Krishna who were not envious, they went back to the spiritual world. So obviously in the final moments, he was envious of Krishna, but when he saw him and he died in front of him, something became cleansed and then he transcended. So it all comes down to the time of
death.
What's our consciousness at the time of death? That will be tested. If we have the right consciousness, we go back to Krishna. If not, we may have to come back. For us, it's not such a big deal because if we come back, we're going to be in ISKCON again anyway. So it's not such a big deal. But then they go back.
What's the benediction of Lord Shiva?
Where is that? No, where is the where is it saying that?
It's not said explicitly.
No, it says that Lord Shiva gave him the blessing to have the form.
By which he ever found. So it's possible that though his sadhana was, though his approach was pratikul to the Lord, but to uphold the benediction of Lord Shiva, Lord must have avoided him salvation because Lord Shiva had benedicted him. Could look like with some benediction such that he will look like Krishna. It seems like that, but I don't know.
Seems good, yeah. I would say it's more the consciousness at the time of death.
Yeah.
Because Shishupal merged into the body. Whereas some of them went to Vaikuntha and went to Vaikuntha.
Who
would
never be spiritual?
Yeah. Seeing a head decorated with earrings lying at the gate of the royal palace, the people present were puzzled. Some of them asked, "What is this?" And others said, "It is a head, but whose is it?" My dear king, when they recognized it as the head of their king, the Lord of Kashi, his queen, sons, and other relatives, along with all the citizens of the city, began to cry pitifully, "Alas, we are killed, O my lord, my lord." After the king's son, Sudakshina, had performed the obligatory funeral rituals for his father, he resolved within his mind, "Only by killing my father's murderer can I avenge his death." Thus the charitable Sudakshina, together with his priests, began worshipping Lord Maheshwara with great attention. So they were worshippers of Lord Shiva. Yeah, we should not worship Lord Shiva except in the position of being a Vaishnava, a devotee. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. That's how we worship Lord Shiva, not as the Supreme. And the second point is that they were not worshipping for the right reason. When you worship the deity, you must always worship for the right reason. You cannot ask the deity for material things. No, it's not correct to ask the deity for something material. Only spiritual things. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.